What's up, fanboys and fangirls? Welcome back to a real quick episode of TV Talk before we jump into our main topic, which will be reviewing Asteroid City. This week, our episode of TV Talk is from Secret Invasion, episode 3, titled Betrayed.
Betrayed.
What did you guys... we should say welcome to our good friend Trevor here across the table from me. Luke is at a very special early screening of Mission Impossible.
Yeah, we got
Dead
press
Reckoning
thing.
Part 1. And he's having fun with that. So we brought in Trevor and I do a Deconstructing the MCU podcast together.
Yeah.
And so he's here mainly for, I think, Asteroid City. Have you been watching Secret Invasion, though?
I did watch it.
Okay.
Yeah. Not necessarily to talk about it, but just so I knew what you guys would be talking about.
Well, what's going on? That's fair. So if you're new here, maybe you're a fan of Trevor and you're watching this because of him. I'm Brett. This is Tyler. And that's Trevor. You guys both have T names. And that throws me off way too often.
That's right.
Get used to it. We're here all night.
What did you guys think about? Well, first off, Trevor, what did you think about kind of the first two episodes and then episode 3 as kind of the first half of this 6-episode miniseries?
Sure. It seemed a little too much like Falcon and the Winter Soldier when it first started.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly it was we have an adolescent as our leader was kind of the vibe it with Gaia.
Mm.
It's not that.
Yeah.
And it kind of establishes that by the end of the first episode. But no, I remember when Captain Marvel came out, and one of the things people were talking about was the Secret Invasion. Like, Skrulls are not good guys.
Right.
They're not, you know, it's supposed to be this, like, what this show is. And when we didn't get that in Captain Marvel, I remember people were upset at that movie for other reasons. But...
Surely not.
Yeah, but they were...
Wait, people were upset about that movie? No idea.
It's nice that they've kind of been able to put it in reverse, so to speak, for this show and be like, yeah, this is... We are going to do the Secret Invasion storyline. It is kind of more akin to what you're thinking of if you're familiar with the story. But no, and I really enjoyed... And I want to say too much about episode... Can we talk about episode 3?
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
The first episodes, people are talking about how Nick Fury is, like, not the same. How he's, like, older or changed or whatever. And I think it goes to show how good of an actor
Samuel Jackson.
Yeah, thank you. Is because he does switch in episode 3, I think. I think there's a moment where he does kind of turn into, like, oh, no, I am Nick Fury. But that's my thoughts so far, I guess.
You are way warmer on this than we have been.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We don't think it's bad, but we also don't think it's good.
Huh.
And, just before we dive too deep, because Brett and I kind of had a conversation about this show last night that I think...
Which, ironically, was before either of us had seen episode 3.
Correct.
So I'm curious if your thoughts have changed. But go ahead and finish your thought.
Yeah. So, episode 3... doesn't do a whole lot to sway me one way or the other. I do think Gravik is great. I like him a lot. I think the actor who plays him, his name's Kingsley Ben-Adir. I think he does a great job. I think he has a ton of command in every scene he's in. And you just kind of naturally gravitate towards him, which makes his role in the show believable. And I really like that. I do agree with you in that Fury gets to be a little more Fury this go-round, where it's just like, okay, I'm doing this. Like, we're done talking about it. We're doing it. So that's nice. It sucks that it took 3 episodes to get there. There is that. But I do think episode 3 is slightly better than the other 2 episodes. but it's still just not scratching that itch. And I'll talk about it, I think, a little later when after you give your thoughts.
Sure.
There is something I think this show could have done that could have made it better.
Okay. Yeah. I think that the show has finally figured out at least what it is or what it wants to be here in episode 3. The The most refreshing thing for me in this episode was that we're not, like, revealing new characters or, like, we're able just to kind of start working into the plot. Which, I again, Tyler and I were talking yesterday, and we talked about how frequent, I think I made the point, like, it's very frequent for a show to feel like it's spinning its wheels. You know, especially looking back on long-running shows that have, you know, a 18, 22-episode season, like, that feels familiar. I think what was frustrating for me in the first couple episodes was that it felt like we were doing that already, and it's a six-episode thing. That said, especially after watching this week's episode, I wondered, Trevor, if you would enjoy it more watching these episodes back to back.
Yeah, because you get more is unfolded.
I feel like watching this in more of a binge model helps with maybe a perception of some of those things where it's like, okay, well, and we got to wait a week.
Yeah.
Because there's that, like, okay, am I really, like, what did it do to make me want to tune in next week?
Sure.
And I don't feel like episodes one or two did that really well. Now that in episode three, we're kind of into the meat of the story, I'm more intrigued. Some interesting things happen. And I still don't think they're using the Skrulls super great, unfortunately.
Which is what I kind of wanted to get into.
Which we can do that.
Which we kind of talked about last time. But, like, I think what would really help this show is if you took the theme of Falcon and Winter Soldier and put it in this show, and you take the theme of this show and put it in Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Flip-flop.
And here's why. Falcon and Winter Soldier treated the people who were blipped like they were, like, it was almost like a racism thing.
Yeah.
Right? But really what they were looking for was a home to come back to.
Yeah.
The Skrulls are different, and it would make more sense for this to be a story about people not liking Skrulls because of what they look like.
Right.
And they're upset about that, so they go after the human race. So in my mind, like, these two themes could be flipped, and I think it would benefit both shows.
Yeah, because they're trying to do both,
right,
with Nick Fury in this, right, as well. And Don, I do, along with that, I'm glad they finally, in episode three, gave Don Cheadle something to do other than just talk to the president for a scene.
Episode two? Yeah.
Is that what happens? To kind of what you were saying about binging, so at the, I think it's the end of two, Nick Fury goes and starts kissing on his apparently Skrull wife, friend.
Yeah.
Watching that, I didn't necessarily have, like, okay, I want to get to the next day. I want to see what happens next here. I want to go. But I was like, oh, that's cool. Next episode. And so maybe not have, like you said, not having the week in between was a little bit of a help.
Yeah. I do think the end of episode three sets up an interesting episode four.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, with Gravik, we spoil in this show.
Yeah, if you're not aware, we do go deep into spoilers.
With Gravik seemingly killing Gaia, do with that what you will, it does set up for an interesting episode four and what that means for Talos and... Mm-hmm. Obviously, we know Gaia's probably going to be fine, but...
I thought she was toast.
I don't know. She may be. I mean, I would give them props for that.
Props if they actually just kill Emilia Clarke halfway through the season.
Yeah, if they do that, great. I mean, to me, that would be a bold move, which Marvel hasn't really done lately. So.
No.
Right. Yeah, no, it's been... I don't know. To me, this was the strongest episode.
Agreed. I also think that in terms of the next kind of end scene setting up for the next week with Fury's wife making that phone call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
also interesting, yeah.
That's intriguing. That's interesting. I don't know what to do with it at this point, you know? I do think that the relationship between someone who is naturally, like, absent, especially when your relationship is with that person who is supposed to be helping your people get like find a home. Like, I think that there's a very interesting dynamic there that the show could, you know, explore. I don't know if it will it. I don't know.
Here's the problem with the phone call, though. Here's the problem. We know that villains in film are not allowed to use an iPhone. Oh. Every phone she uses in this is it's not an iPhone.
It's all the handheld landline stuff. Yeah.
So we know she's a bad guy.
Is that a thing?
That's Apple's rule.
That is a thing.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, that's a thing. Oh. That's Apple's rule. It's a weird thing.
Is the villain game? Wow.
Yeah. So if you ever see a character using a phone that's not an iPhone, spoiler alert, they're a bad guy.
They're probably the villain.
So she, like, they showed her with the pink phone, and I was like, oh, that's an Android. And they show her again later with a phone that I think they were trying to be a little more discreet about.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, that is not an iPhone. She is definitely bad. You know?
Yeah.
Do with that what you will, but
that's another thing that
they should have never revealed that.
Rian Johnson ruined cinema for all of us by talking about that. And it's a Vanity Fair Knives Out breakdown thing.
Yeah.
He mm-hmm. was like, they have this weird thing that like if you're villain or your antagonist groups, like they can't be using iPhones.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's like, it was such like a little offhanded thing. And he, you know, Rian Johnson then kind of did his little giggly laugh, which is hilarious to me. But in any case, yes. I'm really hoping, Tyler, that's a red herring. I feel like filmmakers are smart enough now to be like, if someone sees a not iPhone, they're going to be suspicious.
Time out. You think Marvel on Disney Plus will be the one to buck that trend?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so. I didn't think so.
It was just a hope.
But no, this episode, like, really, I know we're joking about this phone thing, but, like, this episode was a step up to mm-hmm. me. I did think it was slightly better. I was talking to Luke a little bit, and he kind of brought up an interesting point, and I know we're running short on time here, but one of the things that, with Gravik's plan, that really, to me, and to Luke, too, is weird is that he has no consideration for the 5-year disappearance via the blip.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just like, yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, you didn't help me. And I feel like that's a huge, like, when that's become such a big part of Marvel and everything they do, to ignore it in this situation is kind of weird.
I also feel like we're at the point here after what has been revealed in episode 2 with, like, there are a million Skrulls on planet Earth.
And
like,
it's Gravik, all of them, isn't
Gravik
it?
Is not leading, at all this point, an army of a million.
No.
So either they have very adaptively, like, and I get that it may not be ideal, but, like, they're must be living some sort of normal life.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then also, like, theoretically, approximately 50% of them were, the Skrulls were blipped as well. Like, they weren't immune from that. And so there's these extra dynamics that, you know, we're talking about with, you know, Fury. Mm-hmm. And, you know, him being blipped, his wife being a Skrull, she not being, like, that I think are way more interesting than to be explored. They're more interesting threads that could be explored. Instead, we get, I'm mad at Fury, and therefore I'm mad at the world, and I'm mad at humans, and I'm going to kill them all.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to blow up the UN plane.
Yeah. Which also, like, Fury knew about.
Yeah.
Before Talos told him, which I thought was a weird continuity error.
That whole scene, as much as it moved the plot forward, I was a little disappointed in their, like, the back and forth with the getting information and torture and, you know, the show has been weird because it seems like it wants to set up and be this espionage thing, but it's clearly not.
Yeah, it's not that.
And it doesn't play to those strengths at all. I don't know, like, how much of a thing are you supposed to sit through before you're like, it's not for me. I don't know. I'm going to sit through it and just because we do the show, right?
And it's three more episodes.
It's not much.
Like, what does it hurt?
Right. But at the end of the day, you know, when rating this, it's going to have a killer second half of the season for me to, at this point, be like, yeah, get through the first half, and then you'll enjoy it.
You know? Even then, that's big ask.
That's a lot. So it's going to have to really hit a high bar if it wants to do that. So.
Yep.
All right.
Here's hoping the back half is better.
Fingers crossed.